Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:56 British Summer Time. Today is October 9th, and of course, today being Friday, it's the big picture long-term audio for the various different asset classes. First, let's have a review of what's been happening this week, because it really has been quite eventful. On the equity front, the majority of lagging stock markets in Asia, in Western Europe and North America found support in the last week or so, maybe 2 weeks, and are pushing back up towards their September highs. So we have another higher reaction low to monitor in the consistency characteristics of what remain consistent advances over the last 6 months. In Asia, we continue to see that the leaders have held the majority of their gains and some pushed onwards to new high ground, although what there is a difference in what's in the performance of Asia compared to Latin America, for example, because a number of the Asian markets have been ranging for much of the last 2 or even 3 months and have only been posting incremental new highs when they have pushed upwards to new high ground. Latin America, on the other hand, has been pushing on in quite emphatic style onto new high ground, and the Brazil, for example, is closing in on the 65,000 point level. Chile has already pushed onwards to new high ground. Colombia is closing in on its 2007 highs. So the catch-up advance that is happening in Europe and in North America is being mirrored to an extent by the performance in Latin America and Asia, which was among the leaders from October last year, has been consolidating much of its advance. And that may at least in part be due to what's been happening in China, because China's been closed for a week, but it's been reacting for much of the last 2 months. It pulled back towards the 200-day moving average. It's found support above that area. It rallied somewhat, pulled back again, and following a 1 week rest for the mid-autumn festival, they opened up today and it was really quite positive action. So a sustained move below the sort of 2700 level on the A-share index would really be needed to question scope for this to range higher and break upwards to new high ground at some point in the next few months or sometime next year. China remains one of the leading stock markets, and while its performance has been muted over the last 2 months, its importance to the emerging market universe generally, both because of its big market for Asian goods and for commodities, particularly from Latin America and Australia, or indeed any of the commodity producers, it's increasingly turning into a center of gravity in the Asian region particularly. And with China finding support where it needed to remain or to maintain the bullish hypothesis, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to China's recovery. And the knock-on from that is that the market for Asian goods and for commodities will remain very much intact. What we continue to see, and I suppose getting back to the review of what's been happening this week we saw gold pushing out of its trading range centered around the $1,000 level, and it went up and had a look at 1,060 earlier on this week and is finishing out the week in the region of $1,050, which is really quite positive action, and it looks like it's completed another 18-month consolidation. This was also a powerful week for the industrial metal complex, and commodities generally were firmer, and that's at least in part due to the fact that the dollar has been under pressure this week. It found support in the region of the 76 area on the dollar index, which is largely euro-weighted today, but it spent most of the week pushing to new lows against the majority of other currencies. And while it has firmed somewhat against the euro and is certainly stronger against the pound today, it's also stronger against the Japanese yen. What we see is that against commodity-related currencies, or more importantly, against the types of currencies which represent countries that are more likely to be raising interest rates faster than in the USA or in Europe or the UK or Japan, we're seeing that those currencies are outperforming in considerable style. And while there is no country wants a strong currency, particularly in this environment, but more importantly due to the competitive forces of globalization, there are some countries want us a weaker currencies than others, and the USA is right at the top of that list. Now, the weaker the US dollar gets, the greater the potential is that we're going to have some type of intervention on the other side of that equation, because we're already seeing that the New Zealanders or the Swiss or the ECB have been talking about the relative strength of their currencies compared to the US dollar, and they're not particularly happy about it. The last time that we had talk about the really concern, I suppose, being enunciated by central banks about the weakness of the dollar was when the dollar index was close to its lows, which were in the region of 70 to 71, something like that. And with the dollar index currently in the region of 76, it remains in this consistent downtrend, and there is nothing to indicate that that downtrend has ended. But as we approach the lows for the dollar index, the likelihood of some form of intervention to support the dollar becomes greater. Now, we're still quite a way from there. 6 points on the dollar index is a big move in a number of other currency pairs. But we should also bear in mind that for example, the Indonesian rupiah has retraced the entire decline that it experienced last year. And the majority of Asian currencies are in various stages of retracing the entire decline. And that is already a very large move. So while the US dollar remains in this downtrend, it's also already had a very large move, and we are coming into a potential area of support in the next weeks and months. So, with the tailwind that the weak dollar has added to the majority of risk type assets, that isn't something that can go on indefinitely, because countries are not willing to allow their currencies to get so much stronger against the US dollar without some sort of balancing act. And the status quo that has developed over the last 6 months, particularly, has been very much weighted to releveraging and carry trades. And for any potential carry trader, there are a large choice of currencies in which to do this, because interest rates in the USA and the UK and Japan are remarkably low and only marginally higher in the Eurozone, and the availability of liquidity is remarkable, and particularly against the US dollar, there are very consistent downtrends, which makes the dollar carry trade the funding currency of choice. And the correlation, or the inverse correlation, between a weak dollar and strong risk assets is really quite emphatic. The likelihood is that with monetary conditions as accommodative as they are, that's likely to be a fundamental support for the bull market that got underway when markets began to bottom last October. And as long as monetary conditions remain accommodative, the bull market will face no significant headwind to its integrity, in all likelihood. That's excluding the potential for exogenous shocks. But that doesn't mean we're not going to have the occasional correction. And corrections, on the one hand, could come from an increase in supply, which is at least in part what happened in China, and We increasingly see that companies are going to the stock market to increase their funding or to seek funding, and they're diluting the shares. But we could also see a correction unfolding if carry trades come under pressure. And as we saw with the yen carry trade back from 2003 up to 2007, when we did have these larger reactions, it was generally first because the yen got a little bit stronger, pressured some of the leverage traders, which had to then sell, set up a little bit of a chain reaction until we reached a level where traders were willing to re-leverage once more. Whatever reason we have for reactions, the chances are that within the bull market, and as long as monetary conditions remain accommodative, re larger reactions or corrections are going to be limited to reversions towards the 200-day moving average. And the China market is a good template for what that could look like in a number of other indices. Of course, the other template is that markets move into more of a ranging phase, ranging consolidation, and allow the moving average to catch up with them. And perhaps one or two of the Asian indices are doing just that. But provided the monetary conditions remain accommodative, we will be in a situation which is really quite bullish for the majority of risk assets. And what happened this week with government bonds is interesting because we have seen the yield curve spread, which is the difference between 10 and 2 years, and you'll find that spread in the chart library for a number of countries. That spread has pushed out in the US to historically high levels, not seen last since 2003, and I think before that in the region of 1990, 1991. And the question we have to ask ourselves is just how much more accommodative the conditions are going to be, because Chairman Bernanke already talked today about being ready to tighten policy when it was needed. And we've already seen politicians beginning to talk about how they might remove the stimulus, while at the same time saying that they're more than willing to leave stimulus in there for as long as is needed for growth to gain traction. But leaving the stimulus in there and adding more stimulus are two different things entirely. And we can see from the chart that the yield curve spread appears to be losing momentum. And with that loss of momentum, and as it comes into those historically high levels, that would suggest that the spread between the 10 and the 2 year will begin to tighten up. And we're beginning to see a little bit of evidence of that with the pricing of those two relative bonds. And this will be something to watch over the coming years, because while we are now at remarkably accommodative levels, we also know that historically that spread takes a number of years to tighten up. And it will really only turn into a headwind for stock markets, particularly when it becomes inverted. And that could be a number of years from now, which would suggest that while we can expect the occasional correction within the overall bull market, that this bull market has a number of years left to run. And we already have a template for the assets that could be or could are likely to lead this bull market. China, emerging Asia particularly, Latin or commodity producing Latin American countries all bottomed early. They broke upwards early. They have been among the best performing markets in absolute terms, and they've been leading this advance for the last year. We know that the amount of liquidity that is currently in stock markets or in the global economy is really quite staggering. And the way the Fed have increased the size of their balance sheet is truly staggering. Removing the stimulus from the global economy is going to be a very sensitive operation. And the potential for them to quite simply mess it up and create an inflationary problem is quite high. Because while one central bank may make a better job of it than another, all we need is for one of these major central banks to make a serious policy error in removing that stimulus, and particularly in how they're going to sanitize their purchases of long-dated government bonds. This plan by the Fed to use repos and reverse repos to sanitize their massive purchases of treasuries, I believe, is highly suspect. Because if they're talking about actually allowing long-dated government bonds to mature on the Fed's balance sheet so that they can net off the debt of the Treasury to the Fed, that suggests that they're willing, regardless of repo type activity, they're willing to leave that amount of stimulus in the economy for a prolonged period of time. Now, that's going to be all right if you really have worst case type deflationary environment, but that doesn't look like what we are going to have. And once the velocity of money begins to pick up, they could easily be in a problematic situation that they don't want to remove the stimulus, and with velocity of money picking up, your multiplier goes into overdrive and you're set with an inflationary type problem. Quantitative easing, of course, they may well be seeking higher inflation with a view to inflating their way out of their debt problems. And that is at least in part the reason why gold is appreciating not just in dollars now, but beginning to show its performance in a whole range of currencies. Because the problems that we've outlined are not particular or peculiar to the USA, but just there are a large number of countries have engaged in some form of quantitative easing, and they all have the same problem with how they're going to sanitize this stimulus from their economies without, one, derailing growth, which would defeat the entire purpose of the operation, or two, sparking an inflationary problem that we will have to deal with a couple of years from now. This dilemma is supportive of the gold market in particular, and gold, having completed another 18-month consolidation, is looking ripe for another impressive advance to the upside. The react or the advances that we've seen in the last three moves have been 72% first, then 65%, then 42%. So they're very large moves to the upside. They're getting increasingly small, but we also have to bear in mind that 42% of 700 is not quite the same as 65% of 445. So there is significant room for gold to appreciate, regardless of the size of the advances that it's had in the past. And if gold is appreciating, high beta gold such as silver or other gold-related investments such as platinum or gold shares are all likely to outperform on the upside. And it is interesting that gold and gold shares have been some of the best performing sectors among stocks over the last year. And that fact will not be lost on investors. The Dow gold ratio is something that we've commented on occasionally over much of the last decade. And gold has retraced a good part of the bull market advance from 1980 up to 1999. It's down into single figures, and reductions of full figures when you get below 10 are reflected in very large moves in either the Dow or in gold. But what we are certainly approaching is the latter stage of the bull market for gold. And that doesn't mean that gold will then move back towards the highs that we saw for that ratio, or that the Dow will move back towards the highs for that ratio immediately. What we also see historically is that the outperformance of gold gives way to an equilibrium, which would suggest that the outperformance of gold will likely finish with some form of acceleration, but that it won't begin to underperform the stock markets for probably some time afterwards. With the greatest urbanization in history going on at the moment, not just in China, but in India and the big population centers of the world, which are pretty much centered between the Middle East and the Pacific Rim. And the infrastructure that is needed there, the fact that the credit crisis has skirted the majority of those economies, that they have sounder fundamentals, they have better banking systems, they're leading the world in terms of GDP growth, and they have the ability, they're also carrying less debt per person, and they have the ability to leverage up. And given the fact that we have such a remarkable amount of liquidity in the world, that people are looking for something that will hold its value over time, they're looking for better performing or higher yielding assets. And gold is the ultimate hedge against the dilution of fiat currency, but also investing in better performing stock markets in stronger currencies is also likely to be a relatively sound hedge against the dilution that is occurring in those countries that have been most vociferous in promoting quantitative easing type programs. And if we do see a problem with central banks and politicians being unable to remove the stimulus in an orderly fashion and being forced to leave it in there and creating inflationary problems, then we are in a ripe situation for asset bubbles to inflate. Now, in the last decade, we've had a technology bubble, and we've had a credit bubble and a debt bubble and a leverage bubble in the last cycle. And 1998 was the finish of the Asian financial crisis, and since then they've run a tight ship and they have sound fundamentals today. But emerging markets are likely to be where people will begin to look. Brazil is a prime candidate for a bubble to develop, as is China or India. And with the weight of cash that can flow into those markets, if people really do believe that there is the potential for not only large returns, but also the ability of those economies to avoid the problems that have developed in the West, then we do have the conditions for an asset bubble to inflate over the coming decade. And then we would see massively outsized returns on top of the sound fundamental story that is driving the bull market in these countries over the long term in any case. So one way or the other, it does increasingly look like we are going to see the best performance coming from emerging Asia, commodity producing Latin America, and a corollary of that is that commodities are likely to remain a performing asset class over the longer term. With commodities appreciating, that generally goes hand in hand with a higher yield type environment. With yields at such remarkably low levels and supply being absolutely no problem in treasuries or bunds or gilts or indeed JGBs, it does appear to be only a matter of time before investors begin to look for a higher yield. And while we look at those long-term yield charts, and it looks for all the world as if the 10-year bottomed at 2%, and we don't know how long the base formation is going to take, but as over time, we can expect that investors will seek a higher yield, particularly when they can get a better return in other asset classes. And if we do begin to see the progression of higher lows developing within that base formation, then the chances are that we're going to have a more serious inflationary type problem developing over the long term, and it will be an indication that faith in the ability of central bankers to remove stimulus effectively will be declining. We're not likely to see inflation popping up in house prices or popping up in wages in the West anytime soon, but where it could easily pop up is in commodity prices. Oil remains in the area of $72. It's below its 4-month highs, but has been consolidating very steadily. And with the vast majority of industrial type resources pushing onwards, or firming at the very least, firming within their range, or pushing onwards to new high ground, the chances are that we are going to see oil getting a bit more expensive in the medium term, and over the long term, that high up there around $150 is likely to be tested well before we see the Nasdaq, for example, testing its highs. So gold, or the commodity complex, remains in a bull market. Oil remains a key supply inelasticity meets rising demand market, and we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside for the vast majority of these fuller money themes, because the fundamental story that drove them onwards from earlier this decade remains very much in place, and it is increasingly looking like the credit crisis was an interlocution in this secular bull market, and the conditions that are arising now are very much akin to what we saw back in 2003. The supply that had been anticipated that was going to come online as a result of all the investment that took place from 2005, 2006, 2007, a lot of it has been shelved. Liquidity remains difficult to get at, and the likelihood is that the supply that should have been put in place over the last 2 years and more probably won't be there in time for when the global economy recovers and demand for a number of these industrial resources begins to pick back up, and then we're going to be very into a very similar scenario than we had from 2003 all the way through to 2007. And in that type of environment, the chances are that we're going to see oil, or indeed a number of the other energy-related commodities, as well as the industrial metals, pushing on to new high ground above their 2007 and later highs. So we remain in a very interesting environment, and I think with that, I will leave you for the evening or the weekend and wish all the best to all of you. David, I think, will be back in the office on Monday, and we'll be recording some of the audios as well next week. And have a great weekend.